Hare Krishna, dear devotees. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. And happy you could join. Although I'm a little sad today, I think some of you may know a devotee about whom I'm going to speak. We lost a very wonderful devotee in Boston last night, or the night before last. Her name is Harinam Devi Dasi, and I know Dira Prabhu knows her, and there may be others there also. She departed. I don't know all the details, but she was an elderly Gujarati woman, and very devoted, been associated with the Boston Temple for at least 35 years, maybe longer. And she was always very enthusiastic to render service to Shishi Radha Gopi Vallabha. I wrote a little in memoriam to her and posted it on my site. And I think the devotees will also be sending something out to the congregation in Boston about her. But as I mentioned I won't read the whole thing, although it's not that long, but as I mentioned at the end about her, anyway, I will read it. It's not that long. My dear Harinam Devi Dasi, please accept my blessings. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Today I received news of your unexpected departure from this world. It's painful to learn that I will no longer be able to see you in some future visit to Boston. You are one of the most senior from among the devotees who began serving Shishi Radha Gopi Vallabha in the 1980s. You loved to serve them, and you always took any opportunity you could to take part in their service. Although I know that many devotees who have been a part of the Boston community since that time must have been experiencing the same feelings as I have. Their names and faces are now flashing through my mind, but to list them all here would require a very long list. Although you could not visit the temple so often due to poor health and so many other obstacles that were beyond your control, even newcomers knew who you were. There was no one who could not respect you. Your devotion was infectious. I will also never forget you for your eagerness to cook something for me from my travels. Again and again, I would receive packages of prasadam from my flights or travels by car, filled with laddu, chidwa, dokla, chapatis, chutney, sabjis, noodles, and a wide variety of sweets. There was always so much delectable prasadam that I could always feed everyone at my next destination, and still there would even be prasadam left over. What mystified me most about you was that in more recent years, those packages would still come, even though physically you could not even stand on your feet. This always amazed me. Your service will be very hard to replace. But I know full well that a devotional service attitude such as yours is not of this world. There are devotees eagerly waiting for you elsewhere, and Radha Gopi Vallabha are waiting for you too. I pray that you will continue serving them wherever they may bring you for the future service. With great separation, I am always your well-wisher, Niranjana Swami. Harinam Devi Dasi Ki Jai. I wrote it last night. I told you. Yeah. So, I'm going to continue with our Brihad Bhagavatamrita. We left off on text 158. Of the many ways to chant, it is deemed the best for Krishna. And then we discussed a few points. By other unspecified authorities, and I mentioned that the Vishnus were amongst those specified authorities who also similar about Namsankirtan, and we all spoke about the independent nature of the holy name of the Lord. And I believe that was a significant part of what's today? Today of the week? Friday. of Wednesday's presentation. I spoke to Giriraj Maharaj today also. He confirmed. Prabhupada said. So we're beginning today with text 159. When relished with love in countless ways through service rendered constantly by the tongue, the nectar of Sri Krishna's name delights the heart. Who can describe the unequaled excellence of that nectar of Sri Krishna's holy name? Next text. Though all names of the Lord are equally great, a devotee most quickly and easily achieves his goals by chanting the name that he himself holds most dear. Commentary. Since the Supreme Lord's names are all infinite in their glories, one name cannot be greater than another. Chintamani stones may appear in different forms, but they all have the same power. Any Chintamani can produce whatever a person wants. Nonetheless, if a devotee is especially attracted to a particular name, that name will most quickly and easily carry him to perfection. Thus, the devotees who favor the name Rama like to cite the declaration by Lord Shiva, Sahasra Nama Bistulyam, Rama Nama Varanane. My dear beautiful wife, the name Rama is equal to 1,000 names of Vishnu. We're going to read a few texts today and we'll tie them together. Since people have different tastes, each name of the Lord is dear to one person or another. All the names of the Lord are therefore dear. Commentary. A doubting person might ask whether only some of the Lord's names are worshipped and others neglected. In fact, however, every name of the Lord has its devotees. The word he in this verse indicates that this is certainly true. Some Vaishnavas prefer one particular name of the personality of Godhead, and some are attracted to two names, three, or several. Next verse. When the nectar of the Lord's name appears in just one sense, all the senses are flooded with their own sweet tastes. Commentary. In this way, every enjoyment possible is derived from Nam Sankirtan. Next text. Appearing mainly in the sense of speech, the Lord's name gives pleasure to the chanter and to others. So even greater than meditation on the Lord is his Nam Sankirtan. Next verse. The Sankirtan of Krishna's names is praised as the best and most powerful means to attain the treasure of Krishna Prema. It is like a potent mantra that can attract precious objects from a distance. Commentary. If one wants the ultimate success in spiritual life, one must take shelter of Nam Sankirtan, as the Vaikuntha Dutas proclaim exuberantly in this verse. Srimad Bhagavatam, 11:2-39 and 40 describes how Nam Sankirtan nourishes the devotee. Sanskrit, and then the English. An intelligent person who has controlled his mind and conquered fear should give up all attachment to material objects such as wife, family, and nation, and should wander freely without embarrassment, hearing and chanting the holy names of the Lord, the bearer of the chariot wheel. The holy names of Krishna are all auspicious because they describe his transcendental birth and activities which he performs within this world for the salvation of the conditioned souls. Thus, the holy names of the Lord are sung throughout the world. And then there are two verses quoted in this commentary. They're both from the 11th canto, 2nd chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. The next verse quoted in the commentary is verse number 40 of chapter 2. By chanting the holy name of the Supreme Lord, one comes to the stage of love of Godhead. Then fixed in one's vow as an eternal servant of the Lord, one gradually becomes very much attached to a particular name and form of the Lord. As one's heart melts with ecstatic love, one laughs very loudly, or cries, or shouts. Sometimes one sings and dances like a madman, for one is indifferent to public opinion. Now, as I said, I'm going to try to tie this together. I have a lot of references, and they're all intimately woven into this verse that we just quoted from the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The verse is actually quoted elsewhere in Chaitanya Charitamrita when Lord Chaitanya was speaking to Prakashananda Saraswati. And he was describing to Prakashananda, who was inquiring him, you know, acquiring from him, why does he not associate with the sannyasis, and why does he continue to associate with the sentimentalists who are only simply chanting the names of the Lord? You should be studying Vedanta, and so many different arguments. I'm not going to go into them because they're not so closely connected. I'm just setting the context of the verse. And then Lord Chaitanya said to Prakashananda Saraswati, he said, well, he said a few things. He said before that, he says, this is the nature of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra that anyone who chants it immediately develops his loving ecstasy for Krishna. The conclusion of all revealed scriptures is that one should awaken his dormant love of Godhead. You are greatly fortunate to have already done so. When one actually... What's happening? Can you stop that? It did. Okay. It's enough to hear myself once, but to hear myself twice is too much. The conclusion of all revealed scriptures is that one should awaken his dormant love of Godhead. You are greatly fortunate to have already done so. When one actually develops love of Godhead, he naturally sometimes cries, sometimes laughs. Can you do something about that? Sometimes chants and sometimes runs here and there, just like a madman. It is very good, my dear child, that you have attained the supreme goal of life by developing love of Godhead. Thus you have pleased me very much, and I am very much obliged to you. My dear child, continue dancing, chanting, and performing Sankirtan in association with devotees. Furthermore, go out and preach the value of chanting Krishna Nam, for by this process, you will be able to deliver all fallen souls. This was Lord Chaitanya speaking to Prakashananda Saraswati. And then he said in Adi Lila, chapter 7, verse 93, that he considered the next verse to be the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam's instructions. He said, saying this, my spiritual master taught me a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. It is the essence of all the Bhagavatam's instructions. Therefore, he recited this verse again and again. What was that verse? It was the verse that we just quoted in the purport, that by chanting the holy names of the Lord, one comes to the stage of ecstatic love of Godhead. One chants, it becomes fixed in his vow as an eternal servant of the Lord. He becomes very much attached to a particular name of the Lord and a form of the Lord. His heart melts with ecstatic love. He laughs loudly, cries, and shouts. And sometimes one sings and dances like a madman, for one is indifferent to public opinion. That was what Lord Chaitanya told Prakashananda Saraswati, that his spiritual master would repeatedly tell him that verse. So that was from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And I wanted to go back to a verse that we just read a few days ago. No, yeah, 2 days ago. And in that verse, it states, by drinking cool nectarian water, even if only within the mind, a diseased person stricken by fever, no, that's the wrong verse, excuse me, though all names of the Lord are equally great, no, it's the verse we read today, though all names of the Lord are equally great, a devotee quickly and easily achieves his goals by chanting the name that he himself holds most dear. Since people have different tastes, each name of the Lord is dear to one person or another, all the names of the Lord are therefore dear. So this is in reference to something that Narada Muni told Gopakumara. And I'm going to jump ahead because by doing so, what I hope to bring to light, because we're hearing a lot about the glories of the holy name and its superiority to dhyana, meditation, and as a means for going to Vaikuntha. And in Vaikuntha, that is the place where, as Gopakumara explains, one can obtain, or no, the Vaikuntha Dutas explained to Gopakumara, one can attain the association of the Lord always. So, yet, of course, we know that the holy names of the Lord, they can bring one to the platform of ecstatic love of the Lord, bring one to Vaikuntha, but they can also take one much farther beyond that, which is what Gopakumara achieved beyond Vaikuntha. What did he achieve? He achieved the fulfillment of his desire to go back to Goloka, or to go to Goloka, I should say, and to have the non-stop eternal association with his worshipful deity, his Ishtadev, the object of his meditation, Madan Gopal, for whom he was always prepared to associate with in his appropriate dress and in his appropriate state of consciousness and his appropriate aspiration. So chanting the holy names of the Lord not only brings one to Vaikuntha, but chanting the holy names of the Lord, especially by meditation of the Lord's name, which one is particularly attracted to, can bring one to one's desired destination, as it did with Gopakumara. And Narada Muni said the same point to Gopakumara when Gopakumara achieved Vaikuntha. In fact, when Gopakumara was in Vaikuntha, he was in Dwarka. He had already, this is ahead. Forgive me for going ahead, but It's relevant. And you'll see, I hope I can make it completely relevant so that you'll understand that it's all connected. But in Dwarka, Gopakumara was still feeling some dissatisfaction in his heart. And Narada Muni appeared there while Gopakumara happened to be with Uddhava in Dwarka. And Narada Muni appeared there, and Gopakumara turns to Narada Muni and says, Oh, Narada, it seems like I see you in a lot of places. I saw you in the heavenly planets. I saw you in Vaikuntha. Now I'm seeing you here in Dwarka. And Narada says, yes, actually, I go a lot of places. I've already told you before that just as the Lord assumes different forms and he goes to different places, his devotees also assume different forms and they also can go to different places. And just as the Lord is one person, although he assumes different forms, his devotees can also assume different forms and go to various places. He said, I've explained this to you before, but, and then he went on to describe or explained to Gopakumara that why are you still dressed like this? Here you are in Dwarka, everyone here is wearing regal dress, and I still see that you're dressed in these clothes, almost looking like an impoverished cowherd boy, and you should adapt it. And then he brought to light about Gopakumara's appearance, and then he could understand that Gopakumara was still feeling some sense of despondency, and he couldn't understand why you're feeling some despondency. You're in Vaikuntha. Don't you know you're in Vaikuntha? There's no despondency in Vaikuntha. And he was trying to at least bring out what he perceived in Gopakumara was what was missing to him and why he was feeling despondent. And then he went on to explain, and there's a lot of details, and I'm not going to go into all the details because I want to stick with the theme. And the theme is the instructions that Narada Muni gave to Gopakumara at that particular time, connected to the holy name of the Lord. I'll give a few details. Some of the details were that in Vaikuntha, Gopakumara, he actually achieved, now we're in Dwarka, but when he first arrived in Vaikuntha, he achieved that association with the Lord. The Lord spoke to him. But then, at one point in time, and it was very brief, but all of a sudden, the Lord left. And he felt that was one of the causes of despondency. That why did the Lord leave? Now, he had been gone for a very long time, according to earthly calculations, because what happened was, and nobody talked about it, but at that particular time, the Lord and some of his associates, they decided to go to Gokul. And because when the Lord goes to Gokul, he brings some of his associates with him, and he goes there to relish a particular type of relish with his associates in Goloka, who also have expanded forms in various places in Vaikuntha and even in the heavenly planets, like Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. They have expanded forms in the different realms in the higher planets. I can't remember who they were. I mean, there was Prishni and Sutapa. There was Vasudeva Devaki in Vaikuntha. And anyways, So what happens is when the Lord goes to relish this special mood in Gokul, he brings his associates with him. And when the Lord goes, he also brings all his different expansions. They go with him. It's explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So they all enter into his body and they all go with him for the time he's in Gokul, or he's in the material world. Now, it may seem like a long time he goes, but in Vaikuntha, Gopakumara just felt, hey, where'd he go? And by the time he finished asking, he was back. But that was enough, because that's how it works in the spiritual world. But in the other places, in the other realms, there's different systems of time. And some of the associates, that's the Lord's associates, they departed and they went with the Lord to Gokul. And what happened was that many of the devotees, they just felt some separation. The Lord left. Where he went, it was a secret, because it's very confidential what the Lord does when he goes to Gokul. It's very confidential discussion, because it's a manifestation of his very intimate pastimes with his eternal associates from Goloka, who accompany him and go with him, and who are feeling the greatest feelings of ecstatic love of Kevala Bhakti that he takes with him when he goes to this world of unalloyed devotional service and spontaneous love. And in Vaikuntha, this understanding of Kevala Bhakti and spontaneous devotional service and ecstatic love is not really, it's manifest in a different way in the mood of Aishvaya. And in fact, for those who are in Vaikuntha, for those who are in the Goloka, when any time Aishvaya is manifest, it partially cripples their ecstatic feelings of spontaneous love for the Lord. So anyways, for that reason, Narada says, I'm not going to even tell you so much about it here, because if I tell you about it here in Vaikuntha, it may stir things up. And so what happened is, subsequent to that, he had another conversation. No, excuse me, same conversation. There's one verse where he explains that the separation the devotees feel in Vaikuntha, it's not the same as the separation that devotees feel in Goloka and Gokula. There's a verse where he slightly explains this to Gopakumar. He says that, but Krishna is most curious to see how the devotees of Raj respond to the waves of ecstasy born of separation. Indeed, seeing this gives him great pleasure. So just as he sometimes hides in a cave in the forest groves, or on some pretext he sometimes goes away from Vraj while playing in his various pastimes. Commentary. If Krishna never abandons the Vrajavasis, how is it they experience separation from him? The answer is that although Krishna is always with them, he sometimes hides from them for a while just to see the extreme ecstasies found only in separation. He does this to increase both their pleasure and his own. So the separation that the devotees experience in Goloka is not the same as the separation the devotees experience anywhere else. Nowhere else do they have such feelings as the residents of Goloka and Gokul, those associates who accompany them, they have. And therefore, Narada Muni begins to describe, and he says, you are very fortunate, he says to Gopakumar, because you have aspiration to go to that place, Goloka, a place that even I'm not qualified to go to. Place where Uddhava, who's standing right there, he goes there, but he goes there, you know, just to see for himself what the residents go through there in their ecstatic feelings of separation. And when he goes there, what does he pray for? He wants to simply become a blade of grass so that the dust from their feet will be on his head. So that's what he gets when he goes there. But otherwise, he goes there as Krishna's messenger, but he's not qualified to reside there. He had to become qualified by praying to become a blade of grass. Because the superiority of those residents in Vraj is their ecstatic love for him is so spontaneous. And he began describing, Narada began describing all the characteristics. That's why I said there's a lot of detail. All the characteristics of Goloka. And Gopakumara was listening to all this. And he was just drinking it all up. Because not only was he hearing the glories of his worshipful Lord, meditating upon him, but he was hearing about the glorious qualities of those who have this special love for the Lord. And Narada Muni began describing all the different types of pastimes that went on in Goloka, repeating so many of them. And then he gave an instruction to Gopakumara. And in that instruction, this is what he said. And this is how it's all connected to this, what we're speaking about. He said, he told Gopakumara in Dwarka, one develops that love by practicing a devotional service whose main ways are meditation on and singing about the many Vraja pastimes of the Lord. That service becomes brilliant by Sankirtan of the Lord's most beloved holy names. Those names which are most beloved, most dear. Hearing the glories of that place and by chanting the names of those names which are most dear to one's heart. That's what he told him in Dwarka. Commentary says, Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, which consists of 9 basic devotional practices, beginning with hearing, chanting, and remembering, prepares a devotee's heart for the awakening of prema, love of God. Dhyana and Gana, the general methods of remembering and chanting about the Supreme Lord in his pastimes, transform in the advanced stages of sadhana into prestanam sankirtan, ecstatic absorption in the nectarian names of one's worshipable Lord. This sankirtan is the most essential means for achieving prema. By nam sankirtan, one easily realizes the full glories of Krishna and his pleasure potency. Okay. So that was an instruction that Narada told Gopakumara after describing the whole scenario. And then there was a discussion about where should Gopakumara go next. Because he wasn't satisfied, Narada Muni suggested, well, why don't you go to Purushottam Kshetra? Because in Purushottam Kshetra, Lord Jagannath will assume any form that the devotee who worships him desires. He'll reciprocate with whatever name. He's the Lord of the universe. He'll reciprocate with whatever name one chants, and he'll assume any form that one desires. And then after he suggested that, Uddhava said, actually, no, I think he should go straight to Goloka. And when he said that, and he explained his reasons why, Narada agreed, yes, it sounds like the best thing. He should go straight to Goloka. How to go straight to Goloka? What was he told to do? Go back down to Gokul. Go to Mathura and Gokul. That's what they told him. Go to Mathura and Gokul and begin and chant. What did he do when he went to Mathura and Gokul? Well, this is explained in one of the future chapters. When he arrived in Gokula, it was what? It's chapter, I think it's chapter 6. And again, it's the same point. Chapter 6. I found it. He arrived in Gokul, in Mathura. Sri Gopakumar said, following Narada's instructions here in Braj, I went to see the many places of Sri Krishna's pastimes. I sang his names most dear to me. What were the names most dear to him? Gopal, Govinda, Krishna, Mukunda. These are all names most dear to him. They're all just, is this me? So he said, I sang his names most dear to me. I sang about his pastimes loudly and sweetly. I focused my mind upon them. And I attained such a state of ecstasy and became so emotional that it embarrasses me even to think of it. How can I describe this to anyone else? This is what Gopakumar is telling the Mathura Brahmin. What happened to him when he went back to Gokul? And then commentary, in this sixth chapter, Gopakumar goes to Goloka and meets Sri Krishna. Krishna shows him special mercy, and Gopakumar joins the pastimes of that world. The first five verses show the good fortune Gopakumar gained by following the instructions of Sri Narada. This good fortune will be his means of achieving Goloka. While visiting Sri Vrindavan on earth, Gopakumar saw with his own eyes Krishna performing his cowherd pastimes. As a result, Gopakumar's mind reached a rare level of ecstasy and manifested such exceptional states as Unmada, or divine madness. So Gopakumar comes back down to Kukula and then begins ecstatically chanting the names most dear to him. He's heard, just heard from Narada, the wonderful, beautiful, confidential narrations of the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. And he even heard very detailed descriptions of the superiority, not only of his cowherd boyfriends and his parents, but the exclusive nature of the gopis' love for Krishna and how their love was beyond everyone else's, that even Lakshmi Devi, she tried again and again and again to enter into the rasa dance, but she couldn't qualify to enter. This is what Narada Muni is telling this to Gopakumar. And he says that even Satyabhama and Rukmini, when they hear about the gopis' unalloyed love, this and their feelings, their painful feelings of separation they experience when Krishna goes away, and so much, all these details, Gopakumar was chanting these details and remembering them while chanting the names of the Lord. And he was also told that there's really no difference between Gokula and Goloka. There's only a slight difference. Because in Gokula, same devotees are there as in Goloka, but the only difference is that Krishna only is manifest for the time that he comes at a certain time at the end of Dwapara Yuga. He's manifest to everyone, but then he leaves. But in Goloka, he's always manifest. But otherwise, the pastimes are the same. So here he is in Gokul, chanting ecstatically the names of the Lord, remembering the pastimes of the Lord there. And what happens? He says, I spent my days and nights in great distress, always crying in a pitiful voice, not knowing whether the practice I had so long been following would lead me to happiness or cast me into an ocean of distress. I couldn't tell whether I was living in the flames of a forest, fire, or in the supreme nectar of the clear, cool waters of Sri Yamuna. Sometimes I thought I had fallen into the hands of some great deceiver. I was always submerged in a vast ocean of misery. Not even a drop of happiness ever touched me. In such a way I lived in this grove, this most attractive ornament of Vrindavan. And one day, while immersed in an ocean of weeping, I fell unconscious. Then the crest jewel of all who are merciful appeared before me with his lotus hand, a hand cool like nectar and always pleased to hold his flute. He wiped the dust from my limbs. There's more, and I'm almost done, but this is very, very relevant part. Very, very relevant part. In the verse I quoted, and which is quoted here in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, the verse that Lord Chaitanya said he heard many times from his spiritual master, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a commentary to that verse of how the devotee is absorbed in those names which are most dear to him, how he swoons in ecstasy. He doesn't care, has no concern about outsiders. That particular verse, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes very succinctly what's going on internally in that devotee's heart. And this is what how he describes it. He says, in the purport to Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.40, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's description of the inner experience of a soul whose external expressions correspond to those which Kavi describes. It was Kavi who spoke that verse. I hope I'm not losing anybody. Probably lost everybody. But I'm trying to string it on a thread and connect it. This is the internal. This is what's going on internally. He says, oh, that thief Krishna, that son of Yasoda, has entered the house to steal the fresh butter. Grab him. Keep him away. Hearing these menacing words spoken by the elderly gopi, Jarati, Krishna immediately prepares to leave the house. The devotee to whom this transcendental pastime is revealed laughs in ecstasy. But suddenly, he can no longer see Krishna. He then cries in great lamentation. Oh, I achieved the greatest fortune in the world. And now, it has suddenly slipped my hands. Thus the devotee cries loudly, so my Lord, where are you? Give me your answer. The Lord answers, my dear devotee, I heard your loud complaint, and so I have again come before you. On seeing Lord Krishna again, the devotee begins to sing, today my life has become perfect. Thus, overwhelmed with transcendental bliss, he begins to dance like a madman. So that's internally, while he's chanting the names. That's what's going on. Krishna appears, and all of a sudden, he loses. Where did he go? What happened to him? Now, Gopa Kumara is describing to the mature Brahman, what happens to him when he comes back to Gokul? He begins chanting ecstatically the names most dear to him, begins remembering those pastimes he heard from Narada Muni about the wonderful mood of love and separation. He starts feeling internally, he doesn't know, is this bliss, is this pain, what's going through, what's happening to me? And then all of a sudden he falls unconscious. And he says, the crest jewel of all who are merciful appeared before me with his own hand, a cool hand like nectar, and always pleased to hold his flute. He wiped the dust from my limbs. It wasn't easy, but that greatest of cheats, playfully, stirred me back to consciousness by filling my nostrils with his unique heady fragrances, which I had never known before. It's a commentary, but I'm not going to read it. Then seeing his lotus face, I quickly stood up. Not knowing what I was doing, my heart filling with joy, I tried to catch hold of his splendid yellow cloth. That king of charming heroes blew his flute in his own playful way and escaped behind me. Suddenly, he stepped into a grove, and alas, though I ran about looking, I couldn't find him. Goku. He disappeared. Unable to see him, I fainted, fell into the swift current of the Yamuna. And as it forcefully carried me away, I seemed to regain normal awareness and looked around. No. You never hear anything in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. You never hear anything about I gave up my body. I just, you know, even when the Bhattura Brahman, when he gets Gopakumara's blessings on his head, and then the two of them from Mathura, then what happens to the Mathura Brahman? All you hear is he begins wandering around, chanting the names in ecstasy. He falls into a thorn bush. And then all of a sudden he opens his eyes. And there he is with Gopakumara together, Jana Sharma, and they're standing there and looking, and they're off in the distance, they're seeing Krishna coming back from the pasturing grounds in Goloka. You don't hear about death. It's just Gopakumara is just saying, I was looking, where's Krishna? I went into the Yamuna, and what happened? I fainted and fell into the swift current of the Yamuna, and as it forcefully carried me away, I seemed to regain normal awareness and looked around. I saw myself being transported to another place along some wonderful path by a vehicle flying faster than the mind and higher than one could imagine. Collecting my wits, I was amazed to see I was passing through Vaikuntha Loka and going beyond. I watched with great delight as I passed Ayodhya and other realms. I arrived at the shining world above all others, Sri Goloka, which I had long aspired to reach. Everything there appeared the same as in this divine Mathura Mandala of the material world. And then he goes on to describe everything that he witnesses there. He said, in that original land of Mathura, I visited Mathura city. I was surprised and happy to see it resembled the Mathura here on the earth. And there he was. He's telling the Mathura Brahman, this is where I found myself. Now, of course, now he's going to have to go on to explain how he got to where he was to talk to the Mathura Brahman. That also comes a little bit later when he begins to tell how he was there and then he stepped out for a short time to come and to meet the Mathura Brahman who came to Mathura to instruct him and to tell him his whole story. And in fact, in the beginning, it even explains, you know, ordinarily, when the spiritual master is instructing the disciple or a great saintly personalities are instructing, they don't talk much about themselves. But because Gopakumara could understand that this mature Brahman needs to have some faith, and he needs to, if I tell him my story, it should give him some faith. So he decided to tell him his whole story. His whole story, his whole journey back to Goloka, and his meeting with his spiritual master and everything else, the whole story, which has only been slightly encapsulated. And of course, we're still in Vaikuntha, because we're still talking about the Vaikuntha Dutas, the importance they've stressed about chanting those names of the Lord which are most dear to one's heart. And of course, as will be revealed also, hearing and repeating those wonderful pastimes of that place, which is one's aspiration, who is that place where one's object of meditation eternally resides and eternally associates with those who love him in that special mood. So both by hearing those narrations and by chanting the name of those names which are most dear to one's heart, not only, as we just read, does one become qualified to experience ecstatic love and enter into Vaikuntha, but it is the same method for going beyond Vaikuntha into the Goloka Vrindavan. The sankirtan of the names of the Lord as described in the Mastaka prayers, that name will take that devotee and will lift him up, and the Lord will lift him and bring him right to his side. Just as Gopakumar herein reveals in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. I didn't plan on speaking so long. I thought it would go faster. But it's all connected, as we said, to these few verses that we just read about the holy name in ecstasy, losing oneself. Of course, as we understand, it is a very advanced stage, but we should know that just as Lord Chaitanya told Prakashananda Saraswati that my spiritual master was very pleased because I had firm faith in the name that he gave me, and because he considered to me be a fool and unqualified to study Vedanta, and because of my firm faith in that name that he gave me, I simply went on chanting that name with firm faith. And in due course of time, I went back to my spiritual master and I asked him, what kind of mantra have you given me? And his spiritual master, Ishwarpuri, was very pleased to see that because of his firm faith and accepting that mantra and chanting with firm faith, he became so pleased and so satisfied to see that his disciple had actually tasted the fruit of that mantra. And that is service to the spiritual master. That is service to the holy name. That is service to the holy name by the glorification of the holy name. It is that holy name that Srila Prabhupada came to give. He came to give that holy name. And anyone who has firm faith in the holy name that Srila Prabhupada came to give, and who also spoke very intimately the glories of that place, which one can achieve as a result of chanting that holy name in ecstatic love. Those who chant with firm faith, certainly they will achieve their desired destination. Of this there's no doubt. Assurance is given. So many places. There is no doubt. Krishna says, Yaridam paramam guyan madbhakteshu yasati. For one who explains the secret to the devotees, devotional service is guaranteed. Guaranteed. At the end, he comes back to me. Nachatasman manusheshu kashchan me priya kritama. No servant in this world more dear to me than he. Nor will there ever be anyone more dear to me than he. Krishna gives his assurance. Guaranteed. What better guarantee is there to get from Krishna himself? Good investment. It's a good investment. Usually people want to make investments in the best place where they can be assured that it's a sound investment. Guaranteed. You put your money in the bank, they want to know that it's FDIC. It's insured. I want to make sure. I put it in a good place, so at least it's insured. For the most money I put in here, I want to get the best returns from my investment. Well, Krishna says it's the best investment. Guaranteed. I'll guarantee it. I'll stand by it. Just take this holy name and make this holy name your life and tell others about, glorify the holy name. And by so doing, as Lord Chaitanya instructed, the fruit will be tasted. Will be tasted. So, although it may seem inconceivable, unattainable, to be thinking of chanting in ecstasy, losing all awareness about external surroundings, and it may seem like a completely unattainable destiny, we have so many assurances, not only by Krishna himself, but by Srila Prabhupada too. How many times did Prabhupada give his assurance? Just take this name and chant it, make your life successful. Again and again, Krishna certainly will uphold the words of Srila Prabhupada. Certainly uphold the words. So, I've spoken for an hour and I've interrupted with your japa time, but if you'll bear with me, and we will move into that next stage of our morning program for those in North America, and let's chant some japa together. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari. Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. We'll end here. Raj Kumar has to make an important announcement. In order for you to gain access, I'll announce it, but he'll also tell you. And I think he's also posted it in the chat. You won't be able to access Zoom. Access Zoom. What is it? Conference. Okay, this conference. After today, unless you update to the new Zoom software. 5.0. Huh? Go ahead, you say it. Go ahead, you say it.
Hare Krishna, devotees. So you need to update your Zoom version up to 5.0, which is the latest one. So I think on mobile phone, to be safe, you just go to the Google Play or whatever it is on iOS, and you just find the Zoom and put install. So it will do all the job automatically.
And for Apple?
Apple iOS, I have no clue about that. Anyways, it's not complicated. You just need to go to the Zoom and update it or whatever.
And your computers, I guess, too, right?
And on the computers as well, yeah. Харе Кришна, преданные. С завтрашнего дня, значит, для того, чтобы вам вы имели возможность зайти в конференцию в Zoom, вам нужно будет обновить версию Zoom, которая на вашем компьютере или телефоне, до последней версии, которая 5.0 версия. То есть нужно просто зайти или через Google Play, или там еще какие-то, не знаю, у кого какие варианты есть, и обновить версию Zoom. Иначе вы не сможете зайти в конференцию. Харе Кришна. Если есть какие-то вопросы, напишите мне на email vikid@niranjanaswami.in. So, devotees, if anyone has any questions or difficulties with that, please feel free to contact me on my email vikid@niranjanaswami.in. I'll post now my email address on the chat.
Okay, that's final announcement. We'll end here. Thank you very much for chanting together. And may your japa continue enthusiastically. And may you taste the fruit of your chanting, the fruit of your mantra, your aspirations in chanting. May you be successful in your endeavors. Hare Krishna, Jai Shri Krishna, Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri